Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening and welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news, but more likely than not, it will turn out into us discussing whatever we want to, because that's how the format works now. This, of course, is US Week, so you have to deal with me, Mr. Ben Williams, the man, the myth, the substantial, and joining me as ever, my co-host, the resident zebra brother, the tame tour test track driver, and the horsepower whisperer himself, Mr. Louis Satterley. How you doing, Louis?
I'm doing okay, I guess. All things considered. Hopefully, so I'm still trying to get used to being on odd number shows.
Yes, this is episode 19 of our 2021 series.
So I find it funny that I said it wasn't even that long ago. I was like, gosh, we're only on this one? I thought it would be more than that. Now that we're on 19 and I see it's May, so it's like, man, we've done a lot of these.
Yeah.
And it's already May.
Probably end up with like 45 episodes this year.
Something like that, yeah.
Something this year, yeah. But anyway, this is, of course, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news. We do share other news throughout the week that we don't talk about on the show. So if you want to follow us at Simcast Radio on Twitter, using the hashtag SimcastRSL to kind of talk to us about what you're thinking about the shows. And of course, all four members here at the Simcast are members of the collective. So you can message us on there. Anyway, first piece of information from tonight's show. Louis, are you familiar with the XRX series?
Yeah, it started to pick up a lot of steam last year whenever they first announced it. It's a brainchild of Tony Stewart, which is kind of like a glorified IROC series is effectively what it's going to be. It's going to be doing short ovals on asphalt and dirt, and I believe next year they're looking to add a road course or two. So. It'll be interesting to watch, that's for sure, because I know all the races are going to be aired on prime time, actually, on network TV as well, so that makes it even better. I say short ovals and everything, but the car's not based on anything. It's not based on a cup car. It's not based on a local short track car. It's a ground-up designed by Ray Evernham and built by Ray Evernham, and, if you look at the cars, they kind of have an old 80s GTO type look to them, along with...
They remind me very much of the Camaro from the GTO era.
Yeah, they got that going for them. They kind of look like a NASCAR, but they don't.
They're very flat.
Yeah, they got that Plymouth Superbird looking thing on the back as well, and then if you look at the back bumper, it's a dirt racing rear bumper. So, I mean, it's a unique car. I think the only thing that actually makes it look like anything else is probably the tires, because they're Goodyears.
Yeah.
And they're big sidewalls, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you say that there were 700 horsepower cars, too? I don't think you
What was that? Sorry?
They're 700 horsepower.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't realize they're going to be that powerful.
Yeah, they're that powerful.
I figured they're going to be close to about 500.
Yeah, no, they're 700 horsepower, apparently, according to at least this press release that we have. They're mostly in their first season doing mostly short ovals and dirt ovals. But you said when we were talking about this earlier that they do attend to go to road courses more in the future.
I believe that's what the intention was. It's been a while since I've read anything about it, and it stayed dormant for a while as well.
Yeah, well,
so
2020 happened.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. I mean, me personally, I'm anxious to see how it is, but I mean, it It is effectively a glorified IROC series because you got people from all different disciplines, and some of them coming out of retirement, some of them are current racers right now as well. So,
So you're probably wondering, dear listener, why are they talking about this? Well, it's because they have announced that there's going to be an SRX game.
yeah.
What are we called? SRX, the game. Original.
Wonderful.
Yes, original. Very original naming there. Coming out, if you're listening to this live, tomorrow. If you're listening to this on demand the day after, it's going to be coming out today, or if you're listening to this even further into the future, it came out on May 28th. Anyway, so the game will feature the six licensed circuits that they will be going to during the first season of the SRX XRX series. So you have Knoxville, Lucas Oil, Eldora, because again, Tony Stewart, Nashville Fairgrounds, Stafford, and Slinger Speedway. It seems like everything else, though, on the game will be a fantasy track. Well, they specifically even mentioned 50 additional dirt tracks, which are apparently fantasy in nature. You'll also be able to race against the likes of Tony Stewart, Hugo Castroneves, Tony Kanaan, Michael Waltrip, Bill Elliott, and the other drivers who have signed up for this series. Apparently, there's also going to be some type of career progression in the game where you'll be have to drive through 305 when with sprints, stadium trucks, and dirt late models to make your way up into the top career. Also, apparently, they're going to have 25 player multiplayer servers, and of course, the obligatory local split screen.
Right. Well, I don't think split screen's obligatory anymore. There's not too many games that
That's a
have
good
split
point.
screen anymore. Which, at the same time, how many people go over to their buddy's house and play on the same console anymore nowadays, too?
I mean, nowadays it's kind of, well, that makes sense why they don't, but LAN nights were a thing that happened a lot in the past.
Oh, yeah, it definitely happened a lot in the past, but
Yeah.
nowadays you don't see it. I mean, everybody's got an internet connection, everybody's got their own thing nowadays, so it's just race online sort of thing. So nobody goes, you don't go to your next door neighbor's house who also has the game that you want to play, but you don't, and that's the only way you could play it is via multiplayer over there.
Before we get too far off into the practice, Gary, SRX the game is being developed and published by Monster Games, which of course is responsible for the last couple NASCAR Heat games and the other Tony Stewart games, All American Racing, and what was it, Sprint Car or something?
Yeah, sprint car racing.
It was just Sprint Car Racing. Oh, okay. Forgive me for thinking that there was going to be a clever name.
Nah, Tony Stewart sprint car racing is what it was.
Yes. So you've driven, or you actually purchased those other two games as you mentioned. So how do you think these are going to drive? How the SRX the game is going to drive?
Be honest with you, probably a lot like the NASCAR Heat games and the other Tony Stewart games. I mean, it's all the exact same thing, just different shape and size. That's about it. I mean, every one of them all handle the exact same.
Is it?
There's nothing really spectacular. It's not a sim.
Yeah. Is it
It's
very
all
point
arcade.
and shoot kind of?
It's not so much point and shoot, actually. It's very much so about keeping your momentum up, which
Okay.
is what a lot of short oval track racing is. It's all about momentum and stuff like that. It's not something that you can, squeeze the trigger, smash the brakes, squeeze the trigger, mash the brakes. No, it doesn't quite work that way. It's more about how to keep the trigger mashed the whole time.
Okay. Or
So,
being on the trigger as much as possible.
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Which is pretty much the secret to all racing, just being on the gas as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, and this one just makes an emphasis on being on the gas. I mean, if you touch the brake, you're going right to the back anyway, so...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's literally just one of those things where, you know, you go to a local short track and you're like, man, it'd be kind of cool to have a video game to be able to play something like this, you know, and give Tony Stewart credit. He's done it with these particular racing games, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much pick up and play. There's, if you're looking for something to draw your attention and keep you engrossed for a very long period of time, these are not them.
Yeah. So, here's a question. How long do we think it will take before the XRS car shows up on something like iRacing? Or do we think that Tony is going to contain it to his own type of games, if that makes sense, so that he can benefit from it and not necessarily, you know, the arguably the world's most popular oval racer right now.
I think he's going to be a bit greedy with this one, and I think he's going to make it to where only he can
control it.
Yeah. I honestly think that prime example is his sprint car series that he owns, the All-Star Circuit of Champions. I mean, mm-hmm. So basically Tony Stewart's sprint car racing was the official game for those particular series when it came to the midgets and the 410 sprint cars, because you don't see that anywhere else. It's not on iRacing, which iRacing is very much so partnered with World of Outlaws, which is the rival series.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't see him doing that.
Yeah. However, Eldora is in the game. But I guess, well...
Eldora's in the game, but He's weird with the way he operates things. Eldora's its own entity, and he understands that.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever it comes to the SRX cars, that is probably something he's going to keep close to his chest.
Mm-hmm.
So I see iRacing reaching out to try to get that car in their game, if they even want that in there.
Yeah.
More so than Tony reaching out to them to put it in. Mm-hmm.
I just like the idea of the car, personally. Just because, you know, I was a bit too young for the IROC series. So I never really got to enjoy that.
Yeah, I would say the late 90s, first couple years of the Firebird were probably...
Mm-hmm.
The best years for it. Actually, yeah. The '80s, whenever they were doing road courses with the Camaro and
yeah, which is
such.
Which is kind of funny since I don't own it. It's in my driveway, a 96 Firebird.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. That was my run around the car, impressed ladies car for my college years. Now I own a Family Man Charger.
Family Man.
Family Man. Did you
family
just take
man,
my
man,
Florida man joke and turn it into family man?
I might have.
Okay.
Family man.
Anyway, to save you all from Lewis's singing, let us know, you know, hashtag SimcastRSL. Do you think that we'll eventually see the SRX car make its way to iRacing, or do you think it's unfortunately going to be trapped in SRX the game, which it's kind of indication of how this game is going to sell. Is only available on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Steam PCs, which on Steam for the PC users. Steam PC, yeah, that's fine, but you're talking about previous gen games now, and as other games like Grid, was it Grid? I'm trying to think which game that came out recently that was like, oh, this is only for the Xbox 360 or something along those lines. This would have been a couple years ago, but
it might have been Grid. I don't remember.
We can't think of an example right now. Whenever a game's coming out for the previous gen, it doesn't tend to do well. unfortunately. But then again, considering how much difficulty everyone has been having getting their hands on the next-gen consoles due to various production issues, from as I understand it, this might be the smart play. I don't know. Anyway, so again, that comes out tomorrow if you're listening live, Friday, May 28th, if you're listening to us on demand on the podcasting platform of your choice.
Your choice.
Yes. Moving right along. Unfortunately, we need to confirm something that Jordan was correct about. As much as it pains me to say this. So last week, Matt and Jordan were talking about...
Why am I waiting on Jordan to come out and just have, like, salt in his hand to rub it in our wounds?
Well, it's going to be a very long trip for him to get here. Well, actually...
feeling I get.
At this point, chronologically, since we talked about him crossing the Atlantic last year, he should be here by now.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
Yeah. Anyway, so Matt and Jordan were talking about Race Room and their potential potential tracks that could be added to that game in the future. And unfortunately, Jordan was right about one of them. On their forums, I believe on Tuesday this week, Race Room developers Spectre 3 Studios has announced the two tracks that will become available, quote, very soon. Whatever that means.
Very soon.
The vagueness, it is very soon. That could be next week. That could be sometime in June. We don't know.
Well, June is very soon.
June is very soon.
Yeah, it's 5 days away.
Hilariously, June is literally next week.
Yep. Very soon.
Anyway. So
after the Indy 500.
Yes, because it's Lewis, he only sees May as before and after the Indy 500.
No, I see May as Indy 500, and then I see June as Le Mans.
Yes.
Unless it's 2020. After all, my years go from June to June, and actually, because this year, I gotta wait until August.
Hopefully it's not September.
No, they've already postponed it to August, so okay. Le Mans happens in August this year.
Yeah, I knew it was August, but hopefully they don't have to postpone it until September.
Stop it.
I put that out into the ether, now it's going to happen.
Well, now I know who to send the assassin to.
Oh, great. quickly, he continues on to the show. The two circuits... The two circuits which will be added to Race Room very soon include a racetrack in Norway that I've never heard of before. And you're going to have to help me pronounce this correctly. Fjallbjørn? Fjallbjørn? Valrbjørn? Don't leave me hanging here, Louis.
Valrbjørnen, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm not familiar with Norwegian accents there.
Yeah. And
so, but I believe it's Valrbjørnen.
If I keep trying to pronounce that, I'm eventually going to turn into the Swedish chef. My Swedish chef impression.
Well, Norwegian and Swedish are two different languages. Do not do that, sir.
I know.
Because you don't always herp de derp de flopity flopping.
For the record, he did that, not me.
Yes, I did.
Again, it's a track I'm not familiar with at all. Apparently, it does have a test track... where they do test special conditions like icy roads during the winter. It's apparently hosts...
It's a must-required thing in Norway, I would have to say, considering it's icy.
Yes.
Scandinavia, you know?
It's cold there. And apparently it's also hosts...
Along with Vikings.
Like, yeah. Another topic for another show. Apparently it does host Norway's largest amateur racing event, the Gatebil, something like that, which I'm going to assume is like Norway's version of 24 Hours of Lemons.
That I could not tell you, but...
Yeah. At least that's the U.S.'s largest amateur racing series.
Yeah, well, No, I would say ESCCA is.
Oh, yeah, fair point.
For casual racers over here in the States, I mean, it's just for arriving, driving, funsy stuff, then yeah, Lemons.
Yeah. Apparently this track has also hosted the Swedish Touring Car Championship before, though. Well, so.
Okay, there we go. There you go. Now you made your Norwegian and Swedish.
Yeah.
Made your Swedish connection.
Yeah.
next on the Simcast. The Simcast. Swedish connection.
Yes. The other circuit that they announced was, unfortunately, the one that Jordan called out. I'm going to pronounce this one incorrectly now, too. The Brno circuit.
Brno.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Brno circuit.
Yeah, it's
in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you look at first time I ever saw the track, I didn't know how to pronounce it either. I was like, how do you say it? Brno? I don't know. Never seen this before. Then I heard it said so on a MotoGP broadcast, which I finally found out how you pronounce it. But yeah, it's a great circuit. My introduction to it was actually during the old PlayStation 2 days with the Le Mans game that was made.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that one was absolutely fun. That was my first introduction to it, and it's a very high-speed circuit, I'll say, and very flowing. I think the lowest gear that you actually get to is probably about third gear.
Oh, wow.
In a car, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very fast, very flowing, and I can only imagine what it's actually like in the real world, because the corners are very long and very sustained, so I'd imagine the G-loading are pretty high. So
there's one corner that they have on this preview of the track looks very much like Suzuka's Spoon in some ways.
Which one's that? Like turn one there?
It's the picture under where they're talking about how it's the circuit is embedded beautifully in a forest environment.
Pull up. Oh, where's the linky there?
Yeah, there's the linky.
Apparently there. I've decided to close the link. Let me pull that one back up there.
Yeah. So while Lewis is doing that, apparently Brno has hosted series such as FIA GT, DTM, WTCC, and of course MotoGP since Lewis mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten to this track on GP21 yet.
Gotcha. Yeah, on that particular image you're looking at, that's actually the right-hander is turn one, and that quick little kink is turn two,
okay.
I guess you can call it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's very much so flat out and going straight through. I don't really think you can count it as a corner, per se. It's just a quick direction change, and usually people are starting to set each other up for passes for the next corner, which is a left-hander, pretty much immediately through that kink as well.
Yeah. Very interesting circuit. So every time I see something from Race Room, I have the conscious thought of, I really should play that game more. Much like anything else that we talk about on this show. And I will admit, I was wrong about this in the past. They do have a pretty wide expanse of DLC, but it's actually competitively priced compared to other games like iRacing. Like, I think cars are like $10. Less than $10. Tracks are usually a little bit more than what they are on iRacing. If that's what you're more familiar with. But, I mean, it's also the official game of, what, DTM, WTCCR, WTCC?
Yeah, basically, if it's a touring car, it's
basically, if it's a touring car, not in Britain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, because they get their own game. Potentially. It's supposed to come out next year, but we've seen nothing about it. Anyway, so if the Race Room persuasion, make sure to be on the lookout for these coming very soon. Whatever that means. Moving on. So I had to read this one a couple times to make sure I was reading this correctly. Dirt 5 has announced the Power Your Memes Pack. I'll say that again in case you missed it. Power Your Memes Pack. Yeah. is an exclusive contact pack available now in the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate perks for the Xbox and Windows Store.
I want to know who came up with the name of this, actually, because the second time you mentioned that there, I'm not going to lie, it kind of got me angry just hearing that.
I want to be in the marketing meeting where this was suggested.
Yeah, so do I.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that, it's just like, who do I punch in the face right now?
Well, hold that punch. Let me tell you what's involved in this pack. The Power Your Memes pack brings the infamous Xbox Series X fridge. Yeah. For those who might have missed this.
And this is the point whenever you get your pointer finger and your thumb, and you pinch it right there on the bridge of your nose and just go,
you didn't got me.
Why?
Because there were so many jokes about the Xbox Series X being being shaped like a fridge. Xbox just went ahead and made a fridge, because whenever you're a marketing company in 2020, that's what you do. It was revealed last October. It's a giant fridge. It's just a giant fridge that's painted like an Xbox Series X. It has
LEDs
and everything. And now
gives you a whole new meaning of throw it in the fridge, doesn't it?
Yes. In Dirt 5 now, the fridge has been added to their Playgrounds mode, which is basically their custom arena creator mode.
No, literally, just throw it in the fridge.
Yeah. In any Playgrounds events type, owners of this pack will be able to use the fridge as part of their creations. As a trackside landmark, an obstacle to drift around, a huge prop to jump over, or whatever else you can think of. In Discover mode, all Xbox and Windows Store players of Dirt 5 will be able to view, download, and race on playgrounds that use the fridge. So, for those who don't have the special... I'm going to make sure I can say... The special Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you will still be able to enjoy having a giant fridge in the middle of the play, in the middle of your drift arena.
So, I mean, this is literally... This sounds like EA finally getting their hands on something that Codemasters is doing. But at the same time, where do they come out as like, it's like, yeah, you know what, it's a racing game. Yeah, just throw a fridge in there. Yeah. That's a great idea.
There are three exclusive liveries that come with it. One for the BMW M2 competition.
Look at that, something that's actually racing related. Okay.
Yes. The Jimico Ultimate Class 1 and the Solid Cars Racing BV6, which I'm assuming is a purpose-built dirt race car, because I'm not familiar with it.
I'm not hearing it either, but one of them looks
basically an off-road buggy, so...
Yeah, the other one looks like a BMW SUV that's been converted rally raid.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. And admittingly, I'm a bit confused, because while the M2 has special Xbox logos and stenciled designs of the Xbox controller on the car, the other two are very not Xbox colors.
No.
They are.
Oh, shoot. The one that, like I said, is the SUV silhouette, that's very psychedelic, I'll say that.
Yes,
angry psychedelic.
Angry psychedelic, and the other one is very... camouflage, like it's the pattern you put on a car to camouflage its body lines for fun.
Yeah, it's only on this one it kind of goes with the body lines, so it doesn't really camouflage much. It's just more like an effect.
Yeah. But anyway, so Dirt 5 players, if you want to drift around a giant square that has an Xbox logo on it, now you can. Anyway, moving on.
Silliness. Pure silliness.
Very much silliness. Yeah.
Thanks, EA. You're starting to show your true colors with this franchise.
I'm very glad I wasn't on the show last week whenever Matt and Jordan were talking about the essentially F1 Ultimate Team stuff that they announced for F1 2021. Because I would have been far less.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good thing that they were there because they know more about F1 history than I do. But still, at the same time, it's EA doing EA things.
Unfortunately.
Injecting the ways that they've made money with FIFA and Madden into Codemasters games.
Yeah. Which, I was like to say, if it ain't broke, don't fiddle with it. And EA's just like, nah, we gotta fiddle with it.
But money.
You can't let them have too much enjoyment out of something.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on!
Yes. Lamborghini Esports.
Okay.
So, last year, Lamborghini Esports, you know, during the time of COVID in 2020, ran the Real Race series, where they had more than 25...
As opposed to the non-Real Race series?
I guess. I'm not... It's Lamborghini. I'm not sure why they called it that. But they had over 2,500 drivers from 109 countries take part in the series. So they have decided to run another one this year.
Good for them.
Yes, the esports event returns with a new and upgraded regional format featuring 3 tournaments across Europe, America, and Asia.
Makes sense.
Yeah. The world's
much
leading...
like the actual Super Trofeo, yes. Yeah.
The world's leading sim racers will compete driving a virtual Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo in a simulation game at Assetto Corsa Competizione.
Nice.
Everyone's favorite GT racer. The prizes will be a experience at Lamborghini headquarters in Italy and the opportunity to become the first Lamborghini official sim driver. Very
official sim driver, or is that a real world contract that goes along with that?
I think it's similar to World's Fastest Gamer.
Okay.
Where it was like, you get to be acquire an F1 team sim driver for a period of time. Or was that season 2? I honestly don't remember now. I think it was season 1.
Gotcha.
Pretty sure that was season 1. Season 2 was Angus getting a drive in a car. Or not Angus, sorry. Wrong former guest. I meant...
We do love you, though, Angus.
Yeah. I meant Baldwin. Sorry.
Gotcha.
Anyway, the Real Race 2021 will take place from June until November 2021, so starting next month. Each racing week, qualifiers will be held in-game, and the best players will climb their respective regions towards the final weekly race. So it's very much the GT... Sport FIA,
yeah, it's getting
that kind of style.
Yeah, but it sounds like eliminations happen every week potentially.
I think it's like
the way that you just worded that made it sound that way. Anyway,
yeah, kind of. A global tournament driven by local communities. So yes, it's very much that kind of same style. Each region, America, Europe / Africa, and Asia, will crown the best regional drivers after 10 weeks of competition.
Nice.
So, if you're interested in that, if you're of the esports driver variety, you can register for this now. There are a couple different calendars. There's a Grand Prix calendar, which you visit tracks like Monza, Kailami, Catalunya, Misano, with dates for all of those. And there's also an endurance mode where you go to Suzuka, Nürburgring, and Spa. Which is... That's a really interesting method, actually. Where it's... You potentially have 2 ways to qualify for this. If you don't do great in the Grand Prix side, you might be able to do the endurance side a little bit more effectively.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, here's a little more information. Lamborghini will invite the top driver from each region to an all-expenses-paid experience at the company HQ in St. Agata Bolognese, Italy. I probably said that incorrectly. The experience will include a VIP tour of the factory, which will give the three top players the opportunity to immerse themselves into the heart of the brand, meet and train alongside official Lamborghini Scuda Corsa drivers, and drive a Lamborghini on a world-renowned raceway. By the end of the experience, one of the three winners will receive the opportunity to become Lamborghini's official sim driver for 2022.
Nice.
Yeah, so a little more.
So 1 year contract out of it.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. This is very much Lamborghini's version of World's Fastest Gamer. So, if you are a esports driver, I'm talking to the Anguses, the Baldwins, the Johns of the world, this is something you might want to consider.
Yeah.
Speaking of ACC...
speaking of ACC.
ACC. Or Assetto Corsa Calzone.
I like
haven't used
calzone.
That joke in a while.
So,
we're going to take a small step across the corner into Speculation Corner. It's much like Conversation Street, but we couldn't afford the whole street, so we got a corner. Licensing's rough, people. Anyway,
so corny.
That's the point. So something that
it's what nightmares are made of.
So something that showed up on
Nightmare on Elm Corner.
Nightmare on Speculation Corner. It's much shorter than Nightmare. Anyway, you know what the Nightmare on Speculation Corner is? Me trying to introduce the segment.
You just delayed it again yourself.
I know. So, just because we keep laughing at each other. we should record these earlier. So, something that came up on Race Department earlier this week. We're all fans here of Race Department here at the Simcast show. And, again, we'd love to have you guys on the show if you want to stop by. A bit of interesting conversation about what we think the next DLC pack for ACC will look like. It's been a while now since the British GT pack came out to much high regard, much acclaim, despite some bugs that they quickly fixed. And we've also kind of reached the end of their advertised roadmap. So the question is, what's next for ACC? There's a couple of different SRO series that they have to choose from, but which do we think is going to be next? What do you think, Lewis? I'll let you have the first soapbox here on Speculation Corner.
So, it's kind of probably the thing that nobody wants to hear, but usually whenever, at least as of late, anybody gets to the end of their roadmap, it's usually any DLC or anything like that that adds on to the game that's not a hot fix or fix of any type. It usually means they're done with creating content altogether and that they're going to start working on the next project altogether.
I really hope you're not. I mean, you're completely right. That is just something that usually happens, but I really hope they don't do that with ACC.
Yeah.
ACC is the GT game.
Yeah, exactly.
No one else does GT racing better right now than ACC. Yeah. They're also still very high in the popularity chain that they started growing last year.
So I think it's because of
filling the void races.
Yeah, so I think it's because of that popularity. If it is the end of the road for it, I think that what you're going to see next is ACC 2, which would just be more stuff added on to it.
I don't see
video game company that's got to make money somehow. So
true
to me,
but
that just.
But I also don't. I don't see why they would ruin a good thing that they have going here. I mean, they they have...
I don't think it'll... Because if it's going to be a sequel, I don't see them really doing too much to the physics engine. It may just be a thing to where they make things look even more spectacular than what it is and have more modernized content inside of there. And maybe do a few menu differences, but... I mean, don't get me wrong. I think this game's perfect as is, but
if realistically, if they had something in the same style as iRacing's Trading Paints, then it'll be perfect.
Then it'll be perfect. Yeah. Exactly.
The current way that you share custom paints on the game is a bit clunky at the moment. You literally have to download someone else's paints into your own game for you to be able to see it. Which, I mean. Sites and leagues that run ACC on the regular pretty much have that figured out now. Whenever Tora ran our own ACC league, more information about those coming up in the future. When we ran our own ACC league, we just had a Google Drive for everyone to chuck their paints into so that you could download them as you needed them. And I've also had a bit of a limited experience. Like, I had an hour to learn this broadcasting software for ACC, and despite some annoyances I had with original, it's actually fairly easy to use, and actually reminds me of, reminds me of what it's possible in a racing game like that, and how other games that I have more experience could do so much better. I'm just going to leave it at that.
So, but to go back to the original question that you posed towards me, what would I like to see added in there? The sentimental side of me wants to see a GT World Challenge America added in.
Yeah.
Simply because we're from the States here.
Yeah. I used to watch World Challenge a lot when it was still just World Challenge. And they had the Cadillac race cars, which were just awesome.
I was real big into it when it was the Speed GT days.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely spectacular racing back in those days as well. No GT3 spec cars. They were all tubular space frame silhouettes, but they all looked sound and were absolutely amazing cars. But the problem with GT World Challenge America is that there's not a lot of GT3 cars in that championship that I would think merit getting its own DLC, especially as of recent years when I think we only had single-digit car entries in the category. Which is something that won't work for that per se. Granted, this year is a lot more different because about 16 cars, I think, is what they're at right now for the first four races of the year, which is a significant jump, but I don't think it's enough to constitute that. And at the same time, if you go to the GT4 side, which is absolutely stacked, they usually have bumper to bumper grids all the time, and that I don't see them strictly releasing GT4 without the GT3s.
I mean,
and they're two different racing series as well. They don't race them together on track like they do with Asia or British GT.
They essentially share a calendar, though.
They do, which, they run on same weekends,
which if I was Kunos, and I'm not, but if I was, if you're going to do GT World Challenge America and GT4 America, you focus on the tracks. Just because, like, and this is me being completely biased, some of my favorite tracks in the world are on that list. Particularly Road America. It's my all-time favorite racetrack. Having Road America in ACC would be amazing. Having Watkins Glen in ACC would be amazing. GT4 America is also another opportunity for ACC to get the GT4 Mustang. The GT4 Supra that's coming out. Maybe they do some legacy contacts. The GT4 Panos, which would, again, be amazing. The GT4 Sin, which I always... You had to remind me that that car existed when we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
Because I completely forgot it existed because it's so oddball.
Yeah, it's just such a radical car too.
Yeah. There's also
it looks like it should go faster than our GT4.
Yeah, there's also that GT4 Celine that I don't think it actually did it actually race? Or was it
Yeah,
like,
they did a couple single make races with it.
Okay. But anyway. Getting back to that,
who I'd like to see in there is us, but the one that I see probably being the most realistic to put it in the game is probably GT World Challenge Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because they already have the format in-game with GT3 and GT4 already racing together, and there's plenty of content that they could put in there. There's quite a few cars in both categories they could put in there, really. I mean, I believe their races usually range from about 24 to 30 cars a race weekend, which is a fair decent amount for a merged category.
Yeah.
So the other options that are on there, GT World Challenge Australia, I think those are just too new to include. There's not a lot for liveries on that one that they can choose from. And then
Australia would be probably the same lane of America. Well, the cars aren't that interesting. You got Phillip Island, you've got Sandown, you got The Bend. Like, there's tracks that you can bring into ACC to keep improving that game even more. I mean,
absolutely.
There's a reason GT3 is like the most popular racing type of series, just because it just works. You have a standard, and people will agree to that standard. It produces good things.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm really not familiar with GT World Challenge Asia, so I'm looking at it. Suzuka, Fuji, Shanghai. Wait, there's a Korea International Circuit?
Mm-hmm. It was originally built for F1. It has two monster straightaways on it. But yeah, actually, out of all those tracks that you mentioned, actually, that's probably the most boring one of all of them, because it's actually very flat. I think it's another one of those quote-unquote tilky dromes.
Yeah. Yeah, but like,
if Steve Pink's in it, then it would be worth it on that alone.
Yeah. I mean, if you're if Kunos was insane, they could potentially, and I doubt they would do this because, you know, they're going to make less money this way, just combine all the tracks from those three series and just make one big giant world challenge pack or something along those lines.
That's actually not a terrible idea.
Yeah, they ever gave us the IG...
IGTC, yeah.
They have GT4 and British GT, which are all standalone events. You might as well just, like, they're variations upon essentially the same event, so why not just give it all to us at once?
Yeah.
That's going to be, like, 11 tracks, so potentially this is, like, a $40 DLC, something like that.
I see it being much more expensive than that. Probably be as much as what the game costs. It's just another game on itself.
Yeah. Which, again, I would get Road America and ACC, so I'd be okay with that.
So at the same time, if that is the case, that's what makes me believe that ACC 2 would be all of them put together in one game.
Because
if you're already going to create something to where it's going to cost as much as what the game is to make, you might as well just make a new one.
I mean, hold on, I need to look at this. We're what? We're at least 2 years removed from the first time it hit early access. But we're at least...
Which 2 years is usually the average lifespan for...
Well, that's just early access. From full game,
we're
like 18 months, something like that.
Yeah, so we're getting close, actually.
I really hope they don't do that. Here's an example. Assetto Corsa. Assetto Corsa is widely popular because people keep making new content for that game, even though Kunos has decided to move on for it. And that's extended Assetto Corsa's life.
But at the same,
how
at the same time,
like,
that
at least
is...
threefold.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, that is your... modding paradise game.
Yeah.
This hasn't been that at all. This is all beneficial content.
Yeah, but
paradise thing. So
if you have the ability to keep adding official content to a game, like if you're stripping it down to all essential means, you're adding more content to a game that people want to use. So there are, like, particularly me as an example, there are people who are buying a set of horses still so that they can check out all this new content that's, even though it's not official, it's new content.
Yeah.
So,
but at the same time, you'd hate to see it, but they are a company that has to make money somehow.
Yeah. And well, they also have an opportunity to relaunch the game for PS5 and Xbox Series X. I doubt they will, but there's an opportunity.
Well, actually, if it's the end of the roadmap and they got nothing else to do that, very well, it could be what they're working on.
Mm-hmm. Because the PS4 and Xbox One, as we talked about before, versions of the game is a very stripped-down version of the game. It still handles similar, but you're racing at 30 FPS, which is not ideal.
Right.
And the whole, like, I've looked into this because of Tora, but the whole way that they're doing private lobbies on that game is a bit confusing. Like, it costs significantly less to host a private lobby on PC than it would to host a private lobby on console. It's like, you can have this server space for 24 hours, but it's going to cost you like $16.
Right.
Or versus PC, you can have this server for $16 for a year.
And then there's that.
And then there's that, yeah. So, I don't know if that's a console thing or that's something that Kunos had to figure out. I don't know how that works, but I really hope we don't get an ACC2, just because I think there's so much more that they can keep doing with ACC as it currently stands, with just DLC.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. What do you guys think? What does our listeners think about this? Do you agree with Lewis that we're going to see ACC 2 before the end of 2022, or maybe in the end of 2021? Or do you think they're going to keep this game's life going, just keep going as long as they can? So, hashtag SimcastRSO, what do you guys think? So, in the last 8 minutes of tonight's show, it's time for Esports Roundup of the Week. Really need that jingle. It's going to get to a point eventually where Tim's going to be tired of us singing. He's just going to make a jingle for us.
Yeah.
I think I lost you there for a second.
Sorry, I spaced out for a very brief moment, but yeah.
Okay. All right. You want to do the first one there?
I think we can do that. Let's go ahead and pull that up. So, the eNASCAR Pro Invitational Series. It's still really weird for me to see the E in front of the NASCAR and have to pronounce it. Just me? Okay.
Yeah.
The fourth round of the eNASCAR Pro Invitational Series took place last Wednesday night, with the stars of the NASCAR Cup Series stepping back into the current Gen 6 cars for a 32-lap race at COTA. The day after the stars of the Coca-Cola iRacing Series took to the track, pole position would go to James Davison, a good road racing guy there, with a lap time of 2 minutes and 12 seconds compared to the Coca-Cola Series pole position by Mitchell DeJong of 2 minutes and 7 seconds. That's 5 seconds. That's huge. Especially on a place like COTA.
Mm-hmm.
So, but rather hilariously on this one, turn one was cleaner for the Pro Invitational drivers than it was for the iRacers. It's hilarious, but not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody fights for that same piece of real estate. Davison would quickly begin to sprint away as he pitted at the halfway mark for his one and only pit stop. He had a 10-second lead, back to second place of Anthony Alfredo. He would only lose the lead during the pit stop cycle, and once everyone had made their stops, his lead had increased to over 16 seconds. And despite being taken out by Clint Bowyer, who was trying to find the pit entry lane whilst doing his usual being completely out of his depth at the back, yes, you could say that it was Jordan, or yes, you could say that it was Jordan that wrote that. It's the truth. LOL. Jordan's words, not mine. I find it funny that he does an editorial and throws himself under the bus.
Mm-hmm. Just, he gave us permission. Just remember that.
Yep, he did. He did. It doesn't matter if he gave us written permission or not. I'd still throw him under the bus just for funsies. In the end, Davison would cross the line to take victory in the number 15 Rick Ware Racing Camaro as he took the checkered flag. He had to take evasive action to avoid Bubba Wallace, who was reversing down the pit straight. Hashtag just pro invitational things. Anyways, Anthony Alfredo would take second place, but he was almost 20 seconds off of Davison. William Byron, Tyler Reddick, and Chris Buescher completed the top five. The eNASCAR Pro Invitational Series will continue with the fifth round of the season, which is currently scheduled to be the finale on June 2nd at the brand new Chicago Street Circuit. It's going to be chaos, and you heard it here first. Chicago Street Circuit is coming to iRacing next week.
Well, isn't season 3 supposed to drop next week anyway?
I have no idea.
I think it would be.
Can't remember the last time I've been on iRacing to be able to tell you that, but it's coming next week.
Hey, that's good news. Anyway, transitioning to the other eNASCAR series, the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing series took place at Charlotte Motor Speedway on Tuesday night, and the series saw its ninth different winner in the first 9 races of the season.
That's impressive.
Yeah. A late race restart saw Malik Ray holding the lead of the championship's longest race. However, hard-charging 4-time iRacing series champion Ray Alfala was weaving his way through the order, and with 8 to go, he would take the lead. Ultimately, Alfala would come away with the victory in the number 51 Arbaudi Energy Camry, with Ray settling for second in the Space Station Gaming Ford. Ryan Luza, Keegan Leahy, and Zach Novak would complete the top 5. The eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series will continue its 10th round of the season on June 22nd at, technically my home track, Pocono Raceway.
Yay!
Yes. The Tricky Triangle.
Tricky Triangle. Tricky Triangle. All 3 corners are modeled after real-life racetracks.
Wait.
Okay. Yeah. So, I can't remember what they said Turn 1 was supposed to be modeled off of, but Turn 2 is supposed to represent Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and Turn 3 is supposed to represent Milwaukee.
Oh. I really didn't get that whenever I did a ride around that track.
Yeah. That's what they try to model them off of.
Okay.
Yep. So, GT Sport Olympic Qualifier. I believe this is the first one of these, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Italy's Valero Gallo set the fastest time in an incredibly close time trial qualifying event for the upcoming Olympic Virtual Series. It was fastest by just 52 one-thousandths of a second, with 2/10 covering the top 20, which is absolutely amazing.
Considering the fact that, you know, it's the Olympics, I figured that the top 20 would be something like a second to 2 seconds just because of how many people would be trying to compete in this. Because, again, it's the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. So, due to the nationality cap, actually, big names have missed out on being in the top 16 and to the next stage of the competition, including frequent GT World Tour entrants Coque Lopez and Giorgio Mangano, and some familiar faces such as Igor Fraga, Takuma Miyazono, and Mikhail Hazal all managed to qualify for this particular event. So, yeah, some big names there did manage to get in after all. The finale will take place on June 6th with 3 races to deciding who will be the first Olympic champion on GT Sport. So there we go.
Yeah, I wonder if they do end up doing this again in It's the Olympics, so in 4 years, who knows what
game. I think it'll be closer to 3 years, because technically the 2020 Olympics are happening in 2021.
That's true. But will they keep the pattern, or will they just...
I think they will.
Okay.
So, we'll find out.
This is in no way related to esports, to sim racing, but I wonder what platform we will see be used for the next Olympics. Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's iRacing 2, for all we know.
iRacing 2. There you go. Too. Yeah, that's perfect. It's iRacing 2. Yeah.
So that brings us...
You heard it here first. Ladies and gentlemen, iRacing 2 coming in...
2025. Yeah. So that does bring us, fortunately, to another... fortunately for you, probably, who's tired of listening to us by now... to the end of another episode of the Simcast. Lewis, any words of knowledge to leave us out on?
Yeah, eat more tacos.
This time that a bit.
Well, it sounded perfect on my end.
I was a little early on my end.
Nah. But,
again, from all of us here at the Simcast, have a good week, be safe out there, wear your mask, and hey, get a COVID vaccine. Bye for now.
Eat more tacos.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.